The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com. The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com. The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Well, play after the third day, tantalisingly poised, with Australia 34 in front, with 3 wickets down, 7 wickets in hand. Smith verging on his second 50 of the match to go with his 100 in the first innings. I'm joined very happily by Mark Taylor today, the former Australian captain, now working for Channel 9, of course, over here, the Australian Channel. Actually, Tubby, don't mind me calling you Tubby,
Not at all.
What made me think about this, the first day of this game, 122 for 8, when Australia were 122 for 8, was memories of 1997, when, of course, you were captain, and you'd had a difficult run of form with the bat, and then you came to Edgbaston, got bowled out by Darren Goff, I remember, and possibly Andy Caddick.
And now Devin Malcolm.
Devin Malcolm.
Well, he got me out. That's what I remember.
And you were like something like 100 for 9 at lunch.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And obviously everyone thought, oh, this is a turnaround for England and the Australians, this great Australian side, are suddenly at last going to be beaten because you lost the test, didn't you?
Yes.
But then came back strongly in the rest of the series. Were there thoughts about 97 at all on the first morning here?
A little bit, actually, more so watching Rory Burns bat, actually. More so...
What reminded you of you?
Not so much reminded me of me, but just a left-handed opening batsman, people not giving him much of a chance of getting a run. I was actually batting very badly, as you say, in 1997, coming into that series, and needed to get some runs. I got them in the second innings, made 100, but just watching Rory Burns. Everyone had talked about how his technique's not going to stand up under test match conditions, and he's not going to last X amount of balls for the series, and he came out and just stuck at it. Yes, he played, missed a little bit, but I loved his fortitude, his resilience, and his concentration. And I think he showed that, okay, his technique is not infallible. He's the sort of guy who will nick them at times with the way he plays, but he showed he's got at least the ticker to play test match cricket, and I think that's a real credit to him. So, yeah, there was a little few memories there. The other thing, I suppose, was what you talked about. I think we were 8 for 50 on day one of that test match. Warney made 50. Australia 8 for 120, and they were in real trouble, obviously, day one. But the fact that they were able to get through that, obviously Smith was brilliant, and then make nearly 300. I thought then this was going to be a tight test match, and it may turn out to be the case.
It's been a test match of two men who make runs with unorthodox methods. At least they look superficially like unorthodox methods. And yet, I suppose in the end, the key is getting the bat to the ball, which certainly in Smith's case, he does. He kind of almost, his legs seem to be almost irrelevant. It's the bat that's the key, which is how you make runs.
The bat and his hands and his eyes with Smith, no doubt about it. He's got a technique which would not be easy to teach someone. But it just shows you, and he works tirelessly on his technique and his grip, which is very strong bottom hand. And it just shows you, if you do it enough and you repeat enough, that you can master that technique. And that's exactly what he's done. He's mastered that technique.
Although he doesn't think he has, does he? Because you're saying you sort of see him messing around and tinkering with it virtually every day. And he's never happy, is he?
No, but what he does do, he just watches the ball so well. Like, he works balls from off stump to backward square leg or anywhere in that sort of behind square leg position. And you keep thinking to yourself, he's going to be LBW short. He's got to miss one. If he doesn't miss many, he misses the odd one every now and then, and everyone says that's the way to get him out. It'll be another month until he does it again. So, and now he's got his confidence up, he's going to be extremely hard to bowl to for the rest of the series, I reckon.
It's interesting because Australians aren't generally unorthodox cricketers, are they? You think of the history of your team over 50, 60 years, and generally people play in a fairly orthodox, conventional manner, even the bowlers as well, normal sort of actions. You don't have the Courtney Walshes or the Curtly Ambroses or the Colin Crofts or someone like that bowling. It's more the bowlers have athletic, normal actions, and the batsmen have fairly normal sorts of methods. So where's this come from, do you think?
Once again, I think it's just been the way he's always batted. I remember talking to a selector of a New South Wales cricket team many years ago when Steve Smith first burst on the scene as a young lad. And he'd sort of said, oh, he's broken all the records in under-16s cricket and all this sort of stuff. And I thought, then I saw him play and I thought, wow, what with that technique, he's now the record holder for the 16s and all this. I didn't think he was going to be able to make consistent runs in first-class cricket, let alone test match cricket. But how wrong I was, and how wrong we probably all have been about Steve Smith. But it just shows you, it's like a Jim Furyk, I suppose, in golfing ways.
Yeah.
If you've got a technique that feels comfortable to you and you're prepared to work at it, and as I said earlier, master it, you can make runs. And I've watched England here in this test match. Within 3 days, they must have tried 12 different plans to get him out.
Yes.
So already he's got them almost befuddled about how they're going to get him out. So it just shows you that cricket, yes, is a game about obviously getting the bat on the ball, but it's about making runs, as they say. It's not about
how you do it,
drawing pictures and all that sort of stuff. It's about getting runs on the board, and Steve Smith showed that, and Rory Byrne showed that. It's a game of runs and wickets. It's that simple.
It's funny because you look at a batsman like both of those, and as a bowler, I remember trying to bowl at people like Peter Willey, who stood front on, and Derek Randall, who shifted about the crease. And actually, I played a little bit against Shivnarine Chanderpaul as well. And it drives you nuts as a bowler because you think, well, they can't make runs batting like that. And you think, well, I'll get them out straight away. And you don't. And then suddenly you start changing your plans. And it's really disruptive.
Absolutely. And I think you've hit the nail right on the head with that, is that it disrupts your thinking. Shiv Chanderpaul's a great example. I played a bit against Shiv. And you start thinking about what he's doing rather than what you're doing. How are you trying to get him out? Most very good players like Chanderpaul or Steve Smith, they'll get out in conventional ways. But because they move around so much, you start changing where you're bowling. And as I said a moment ago, it looks to me like England had a plan which lasted about probably a couple of hours on day one, didn't work, and now they've tried 11 others. So it's amazing how that can really knock you around, that sort of those unusual guys to bowl to. They do. They throw you off as much as they play differently.
There's the man we need. Jofra Archer. He's just walked past us, actually. I think we need him to get Steve Smith out, although they're actually good mates because, of course, they played together for Rajasthan Royals. It was quite interesting seeing Stokes hit Smith tonight, actually. A nasty blow on the side of the head. Yeah. Luckily, no damage done. Smith sort of shook himself a little bit. Stokes went up there straight away. It's quite hard, actually, when you bowl a bouncer and actually hit someone who's quite a close mate. I've seen them practising together in India. They're absolutely almost inseparable.
Mm.
Both have the same totally compulsive attitude to practice. I saw them one night practising for an hour and a half in the middle together, sort of middle practice, rotating the strike. And I said to one of the, I think I said to Stokes afterwards, well, didn't you get bored, after an hour and a half? No, I want even more, mate.
Yeah.
And they share that sort of work ethic.
Absolutely.
Don't they?
I've got a picture on my phone here of Steve Smith this morning, once again back out in the middle, hitting balls. You think after 144, didn't look like getting out there yesterday and the day before, but there he is out there doing it again. He just wants to keep batting. He just loves it. And to him, it's this... relentless compulsion to continually get better. Okay, averaging, what, 62 now in
62,
test match?
62, second best in history.
2400s, 2450s.
Yeah.
But there's no thought in Steve Smith's mind that I've just got this game nailed. He's always thinking, no, there's got to be something else. Mm. Well, I've got to start thinking about how I can get better to stay at 62. And that's probably the only way you can stay at 62, by thinking
constantly
that way.
Evolving, because you know that people are going to be trying to get you and find ways of getting you out. How do you separate the two sides now after 3 days? Can you?
Oh, no. I think at the moment, I think the difference has obviously been probably the first two sessions of the game. And that's why England, I think, are still in front. I do think 3 for 34, in essence, England are in front in this game. Because they only need probably one or two quick wickets tomorrow and Australia are in real trouble. So... And it's only been those first two sessions. We were 8 for 122. If Australia were only 4 for 122 and the tail wags, they might have made 350. Mm. Then they would may well be in front in the game. So there's not a lot in it. And we thought, looking at this series right from the word go, it was going to be a tight series. And I think that's going to be the case. I really do. And now Jimmy Anderson looks to me like he might be out for the series. Mm-hmm. I may be wrong, but it's going to be very difficult to come back from a calf injury. That actually makes it tougher for England. Archer, I'm sure, will come in. Looked fantastic in the World Cup. But all of a sudden, they've lost their control guy. Their guy not just get wickets, but, you know, I think last time around, 4 years ago, 10 wickets at Trent Bridge and a number here at Edgbaston. There's a big strike weapon gone from your bowling rotation. So that's a big loss for England. So irrespective of who wins this Test match, I think we've got a really excellent series on our hand. I think it's going to be well fought for five Test matches.
How much of a lead do you think Australia need to feel confident of success here?
I think to feel confident of success, they'd probably want at least 220 to 250.
Yeah.
But once again, 170, 180, they'll feel they're a chance. Mm. I think Nathan Lyon will be tougher to face. I think he got better as that innings went on, end up bowling 45 overs or something like that. I think he'll get better because he'll get more used to this ball. Bear in mind, he's been bowling with a Kookaburra for the last 6 weeks in the World Cup, so he hasn't bowled a lot with this Duke ball. I think he got better as this innings went on. I think he will get more purchase and bounce than Moeen Ali has got so far. So I think he'll be a real factor, but he needs some runs to bowl to. And obviously, the more Australia can get up towards 200 lead, if they can get that far and beyond, The balance sort of swings towards the Aussies.
One little final thought. Tim Payne as captain. How important is it for him to start well? Because, you know, he may be under pressure as captain with Smith coming back, who appears to almost be running the show quite a lot of the time on the field anyway.
I think Smitty... I know Steve very well. I think he wouldn't be trying to run the show, but he's one of those guys who just loves the
game.
Can't help
it, almost. Can't help himself.
It wouldn't matter who he's playing for, whether he's captain or not. He'd be the sort of guy who always have a theory on the game. And look, to be totally frank, I think more cricketers should have that attitude. When you're out in the field, yes, you've got a captain, but everyone should be thinking about how you're going to get people out or something that might make a difference in the game. So I think Tim Payne would be loving that. I don't see Tim Payne under the pressure that other people do. Tim Payne has to keep well, first and foremost for me.
And make some runs.
And chip in and make some runs.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean he has to average 50 in this series. Mm. If he can come out tomorrow and make a handy 30, something like that, with either Head or Smith or Wade.
Siddle, I suppose.
That's right. And they get the lead up over to 220. He's done his job.
Yeah.
He's not picked as a batter. People are now looking at Alex Carey because he batted well in the World Cup. But that's not what Tim Payne's picked as. He's picked as the best keeper in the country. He's kept very well. He took a good catch today to remove Burns in the end. And if he can set chip in, make average 25 to 30 with the bat in the series, his job's done.
Tubby, thanks for your time. I don't want to stop you anymore from walking back to your hotel. I know you want to walk back tonight.
Got the shoes on?
You've got the walking shoes on. Can be a little bit dangerous, this place, if it gets dark. So I want you to get home safely.
Great idea.
All the light fades.
Well, I've walked every day so far, and the crowd is getting louder and louder as this test goes on, mate. So probably good I hit the road.
Good luck, and thanks for your time. And we'll speak to you again, listeners, on Monday night after the end of this test match.
Sports Social Podcast Network.